T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, Beth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. Thanks for joining us. Just a reminder, if you'd like to subscribe to the Annie Fry Show podcast, you can do so at radio.com. You can also stream the station there, and you can even rewind the station for those brilliant points that Ryan Wiggins makes, and you need to hear the first half in order for him to make all of the wonderful brilliance that he has.
I got to listen to that again to make sure that made sense.
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm. There is news, and do you have that story?
I do.
Okay, yeah. So I wanted to address this. It's breaking news, and I think there's still a lot of questions that are out there right now about it, but we'll just tell you what is out there. Ryan, on Ron Paul, suffered a medical event today.
Yep. Go ahead. Ron Paul, a former Texas congressman, presidential candidate, and father of Senator Rand Paul, suffered an apparent stroke-like illness, according to the New York Post, in the middle of a live stream this afternoon. Paul is 85. He was live streaming his weekday Liberty Report broadcast on YouTube. He's been hospitalized for precautionary reasons. But a message from Ron Paul has said, quote, "I'm doing fine. Thank you for your concern." He tweeted that about an hour ago with a picture of him in his hospital bed. So apparently he's doing okay.
Good. Yeah. Scary scenario. If you are following us on our live stream, you can see that picture of him in the hospital. I'm doing fine. Like you said, thank you for your concern. Kind of a frightening thing for something like that to happen live, but Ron Paul is 85 years old and still, you know, really, really working hard for his cause. And so there you go. Just wanted to make sure we updated you on all of that. We talked a little bit about the Supreme Court nominee in the last break during our Real or Fake. Everybody tell me who you believe is going to be the nominee. Gabe, what do you predict? Who do you predict Donald Trump is going to pick tomorrow at 4 o'clock?
I'd like to think he's smart enough to go with the Goyo.
But you think he is? How smart do you think? Let's get down to the bottom.
I'm about 70% sure that that's the way the campaign will go. But, you know, I don't know. Sometimes he's hard to predict. He may come out with a completely different name that no one's been talking about. Partially just to throw people off, partially to, you know, now the smear campaign has to start from scratch because it started for the names that have been talked about. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah. Ryan?
I was going to say the same thing, that he might pick somebody out of left field, maybe from that list that he released.
Hopefully it's right field, but
go
ahead.
Yeah, from that list he released conveniently just a week before Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passed away. Martha Picault from Illinois was one of the ones that I kind of wrote down. Sarah Pityuk, I think I'm pronouncing these names probably wrong, but from Missouri. But I really do think it's going to be Amy Coney Barrett, though.
Okay, Katie?
It's going to be Amy Coney Barrett. They have, I think Trump knows her. They have some sort of relationship. And I think they've spoken before. She was the pick, I think, right before Brett Kavanaugh. It's going to be her, and it wouldn't be terrible, wouldn't be bad. That's just not my pick, because I like Barb.
Alan, I like Barb. Alan on the Annie Fry YouTube channel says, Judge Barrett, again, there are a lot of Catholics, but I am okay with any of the women on the list. Give us your comments as to who you expect it to be. We would love to hear from all of you what you think it's going to be. And at 4 p.m. tomorrow, that announcement will be made. I am going to 80% commit to being live on our Annie Fry YouTube channel tomorrow. I don't know what you guys are all doing, but we'll touch base afterwards and see if anybody is free to join me. Otherwise, I'll just stream it live myself here on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. So go subscribe there and follow us so that we can have that conversation tomorrow and listen to what he says. Gabe, we haven't really had this conversation with you quite yet, and I don't know, now that we're into the week quite a bit, we can all touch base back on this issue again, but the appropriateness of President Trump making this nomination before an election in an election year. You think it's hypocritical for him to do that?
It's a bit of politics, sure. I think the situations, though, are different enough that a case could be made that we're not creating any new precedents or anything like that. I think Ted Cruz did a good job explaining the history of situations. I think there were, if I'm remembering correctly, 29 such situations where it was a final year of a first term nomination period. But the situation is different when the Senate and the president are the same or different parties. When they're the same party, the nomination just pretty much sails right through as per normal. When they're different parties, the Senate has only ever confirmed the nominee twice. Mm-hmm. The politics hasn't really changed in the over 200 years of the country. So, 200 years. So I don't expect it to get any different in the future.
Gabe or Ryan, how do you feel at this point in time? The initial shock of RBG passes away. Oh no, what's going to happen? Trump says, oh no, I'm going to do it. It's interesting how the Breonna Taylor story has really taken alleviated some of the pressure on, whether or not Trump should be doing this, at least in the mainstream media, the lead story. There's some oxygen that has been sucked out of that room. We're going to find out tomorrow. If you're listening to the president, he keeps saying 5 p.m. That means 4 p.m. our time. We will find out who the nominee is. At this point, Ryan, are you staying the same? Have you shifted at all on how comfortable you feel with him making that announcement?
I've never had a problem with the president making the announcement at all. If there's any hypocrisy, it would be on the part of the Senate. So Trump isn't doing anything wrong at all. In fact, all the people on Twitter who've said, hey, it's his right to make this decision. Well, duh, it's his right. I mean, Obama made the nomination, so that's not really the issue. The issue is whether or not the Senate would take it up, and Mitch McConnell made that very clear from almost the moment he found out that they would be taking it up.
That is true. There was never
That's a really good point.
Yeah, there was never a moment after the Fox News alert comes through, and I think I was downstairs when that happened. I went upstairs. Actually, I got a phone call that had happened. Then the Fox News alert, I checked my phone, the Fox News alert came through. And then it seemed like almost immediately, but very quickly thereafter was another alert that says Mitch McConnell says, it's go time. We're going to do this. And there was no like equivocating on it. Katie, what about you? Do you think that president is right to go through with this? And whether you think it is or isn't right for him to go through with it, does it matter at all to you what the Democrats would do if they had the presidency and they had the Senate in this same situation?
After it has been explained to me, I do think it's right because, as we've all said, it is his obligation. It is his constitutional duty to fulfill this and to have a nomination. And he's been incredibly respectful to RGB instead of RBG.
Justice Ginsburg.
Yes.
My move.
There we go. But I mean, he's been incredibly respectful towards her and her family. And I love the way he has handled this. I have to agree with Ryan, though. It is the Senate being hypocritical. And that really struck a chord with me. I said this already on Monday and on Tuesday. I understand the circumstances. And I understand that if the Democrats had their way, they would pull all punches. They would do everything that they could to make sure the Senate has full control and was able to manipulate it to their benefit. So I do get it. Just initially, it was hard for me to comprehend what was going on, especially seeing after all those videos in 2016.
And what is the joining factor in all of this? The only way that the only way you can look at this circumstance and be frustrated that you know that the other side would do it, so we should just do it too, is that, does that make it okay? No, it doesn't make it okay. The question you have to ask yourself, and this is what I've said from the beginning, what can you do, what should you do, and what do you have to do? I think that what you can do, obviously constitutionally, the president's responsibility is to nominate somebody to fill the seat. That is what the same responsibility that Obama filled when he nominated Merrick Garland. The Senate, led by a majority that grew from 14 to 16 to 8 through into 18 with Republicans, was given the responsibility of the majority to put the brakes on the presidency, on the party that was in power. That separation, that contrast of party power is important in our checks and balances. And I think it's very important to note that it is not a minor detail. It is the detail, that the difference that exists in 2020 compared to 2016, the number one leading difference is the party difference between the two individual entities that are involved in this process. The president who nominates, the Senate who confirms, advise and consent. And the Senate has advised and consented in both situations, and the president has nominated in both situations. The joining factor that is arching over this entire process is somebody who never really ends up holding the bag or being the one left without the chair at the end of this conversation, because all the Republicans and Democrats are pointing at each other, telling each other how much they suck, which makes everything worse for everybody. Where is the criticism of the media? The reason why it frustrates people so much that hypocrisy is so incredibly rampant in our country and in our politics today is because the media is supposed to be on our side. They're not supposed to be on the side of the Republicans. They're not supposed to be on the side of the Democrats. They're supposed to be advocates for the truth. And the truth is the truth. The truth doesn't have a party. The truth isn't Republican. The truth isn't Democrat. You don't get to have your truth while somebody else gets to have their truth. The truth exists, and you are welcome to have a thought, opinion, and perspective on the truth that is real. But we don't get truth anymore. And when we don't get truth anymore, we all go to the buffet and you eat on the seafood side and they're eating on the salad bar side, and you're sitting down and you're saying, oh, we're at a seafood restaurant. No, we're at a nice salad buffet. And everybody feels like we're in the same place. How could we not understand the same thing that's going on here? And then meanwhile, you've got the media just lapping the chocolate out of the chocolate fountain, getting fat on the hog because they're sitting over there and they're profiting off of the idea of lack of truth. And we are the losers in that. I feel like I'm the one who's stuck at the salad bar. That seems unfair.
Now I want to go to Golden Corral.
Can you go to a buffet these days?
I don't know.
Not in Illinois.
You can just go in and see.
I'm not sure.
Walk in and see.
Can you imagine sitting outside at a buffet and having a waiter have to come and load your plate with food?
No way.
I could imagine that. I'd probably do it.
Under the chocolate fountain and bring it back to me. Oh, I can't handle buffets.
You just gave me a visual of like Don Lemon's head in a big chocolate fountain, and it's hilarious.
Can you put this salad under the chocolate fountain, sir? Thank you.
Oh, why does the media get to advocate? They're supposed to advocate for us. They're supposed to be the ones who pull the curtain back, who expose the truth, as nasty and as dirty as it ever has been or could be. And they're the ones who are supposed to show us what's really going on. And then guess what, folks? We're the ones who are supposed to decide how we feel about it. It's not supposed to be processed and laundered through what they want us and need us to think and believe. We're supposed to be able to have an unvarnished presentation so we can come up with an opinion on it. We don't get that anymore. We don't. It doesn't exist. Which is why when you look at the news, you see how nasty some of this FBI stuff is. The fact that the person who provided information to Christopher Steele to put together the Steele dossier was a Russian spy. The Democrats, Hillary Clinton's campaign paid a Russian spy to lie about the other side of the aisle and accuse the other side of the aisle with colluding with Russians, which is exactly what they were doing. This is not even a believable movie. This is a West Wing episode. You'd be like, that's ridiculous. This wouldn't happen in America. Stop it. This isn't even possible. And it happened. And they almost got away with it. And they're going to try to paint the same crap story for America to suggest that somehow or another President Trump's not going to accept the election results. Baloney. Somehow or another, there's going to be election that they need to get these mail-in ballots so that they can drag this out as long as they can and try to affect some change. Do I trust these people? No. And we have the evidence now from the FBI. Oh, and by the way, when that Russian spy, that Russian agent that was the source of all of the Steele dossier information that Christopher Steele partnered with, that Hillary Clinton's campaign paid for. You know when they found him out and he was under investigation by our FBI? It was between 2009 and 2011. You know who the FBI director was between 2009 and 2011? I'll pause. Robert Mueller. You gotta be kidding me, people.
Wow.
I know, it's insane.
Whoa. Wow. I did
not
know
that.
I'd turn
this table over if I wasn't the one who had to clean it all up. Oh, it makes me crazy.
Wow. Annie Fry.
Yes.
Thank
oh
you.
My
I honestly, I understand that better after you just saying that.
I hope I said
reading
it right.
I hope
I
what
said
in
it
the
right.
World?
I hope I got those facts straight. Who cares? Who cares what kind of facts actually exist? Nobody cares. Nobody cares anymore. This is my truth, people.
Truth over facts.
It's truth over facts. Yeah, that's a campaign slogan. And build back better.
Build back
which
better.
Which is also really, really stupid. I'm
going to
take
speaking of which,
drink.
I got a thing going on Twitter. So since we're not getting any Joe Biden stuff, I said, hey, start with here's the deal and use predictive text to make your own little Joe Biden tweet. So everybody
fantastic.
Go to Twitter at John Philosopher on Twitter and check that out and have fun.
I will do that right now over the break. I will take a deep breath and get the oxygen tank over here. Didn't turn anything over. Don't have anything to clean up. But we'll be back in just a minute with a little Ask Me Anything. We'll probably ask you guys. I've said enough. Haven't I? It's Friday. Thank God. Back in a minute. Well, you can't have welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Somebody reminded me. Someone said after that last segment, I was going to need to take a drink. And then Jeff said she might do that. She has a whiskey sponsor. And so I got out my stumpies. And I want to remind you that I'm going to give you one tip for this weekend. First of all, I'm going to be making my whiskey slush sometime this weekend so that we can have it while we enjoy the debate on Tuesday, which we're going to do live. Ryan and Katie are coming over to my house and we're going to watch it live so you can join us. Make sure you subscribe to the Annie Fry YouTube channel. So I'm going to make some whiskey slush for that night with some Stumpies. You can get your Stumpies at Schnucks and a lot of other places as well. But there's this pecan pie and this cool, crisp air that is out there right now. This Old Monroe pecan pie flavored whiskey, if you put it in some like refrigerated cold coffee stuff, oh my gosh, you're lucky I'm still here because I have been looking at this bottle and thinking about going to get some of that right now.
That sounds good. Minus the coffee.
Can I go do that on my way to get my Straight kids? Get just go like through Starbucks and get a nice cold iced coffee and, you know, a little Stumpies? No, I would never do
you
that.
You should definitely go through Starbucks drive-thru and say, you guys got any liquor?
see what they do. Stumpies. You should see what it could do for your business. Okay, so it's time to
a friend of mine
to
took an empty gin bottle to the gym and he would drink water from it.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, but he's a lot of fun.
Dang.
That's fantastic. I need friends like yours. Every Friday we do a segment called Ask Me Anything, and we're going to kick that off right now.
If you have anything to ask me, just go ahead.
I want the truth!
Say it.
Thank you for your honesty.
You can't handle the truth!
And the truth shall set you free!
Carlos says, real talk, Annie, will there be a debate drinking game? And I will recall when we watched, Katie and I watched the State of the Union, when Nancy Pelosi was going to be sitting behind her first speakership, sitting behind Donald Trump. And we're like, oh, we'll take a drink every time Nancy Pelosi stands and applauds for Donald Trump. And we finished that bottle. Didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. So we got to be a little more careful with how we choose to attack this debate here coming
or
up.
Do we? Do you have a futon?
I do. I do have a futon. I have room. We can make it work.
Okay.
Here's my first Ask Me Anything for the group. If you could encourage people to watch one show right now, streaming or live, what show do you wish that people would sit down and watch? And I am asking this of you because I want to tell you and everybody who is listening right now that you should be watching Blue Bloods. Blue Bloods is such an amazing show. It's on CBS. And I think that if you have a cable provider, there's like a CBS app that probably is on your smart TV and you should be able to watch all of them. But Blue Bloods, Tom Selleck is the police commander in New York City, and he runs the NYPD, and he's got a family that is, one of them's a DA, and one of them's a sergeant, and one of them's a detective. And this is a show that's based on policing. I think it's very respectful to policing. And you know, maybe if you're a police officer, you can comment here and tell me if I'm wrong. But I think it acknowledges the difficulty of the job, and it shows people how real these individuals are who serve us. And they also sit down every episode around a table, have a family dinner, they pray. And I just think, like, when you're looking around and you're saying everything has lost its wholesome appeal, Blue Bloods has it. It's fantastic. And it's on network TV, so it's not like there's a lot of other stuff you've got to soak in. So if you're looking for something to watch this fall, start at the very beginning. You will be so glad you did. So, Katie, what about you? What are you recommending people watch?
I have been watching this series that's very short and quick and quirky, and it's called Dairy Girls. It's on Netflix. It's about a private school.
You need a palate cleanser.
It's about a private school based in Ireland. And just the shenanigans these people get themselves into, it is so cute and fun, and it's quick, so you're not spending an hour or more on it. Every episode just flies by.
Boom, boom.
And sometimes you just want to get your mind off of something very, very serious. This is great, and it's all based in the 90s, which I really love. So the fashion's weird, the people are weird, the accents are weird. I love it all.
Fantastic. Ryan, what about you?
Speaking of family values, I will say on Hulu, the show Children's Hospital, which if you don't know the show, you know that I am being very ironic when I say family values. it is a very, very funny show. And unlike Blue Bloods, I recommend you start in the middle of that show because the early seasons are actually not that great, but it gets fantastic.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right, Gabe, what about you?
You know, I'm not actually watching any like decent series right now. I'm just kind of going through old sci-fi stuff. But I did recently watch the movie Uncle Tom, produced by, I can't remember his name, Larry Elder. And that was a very, very interesting movie. I'd encourage you guys to go and check that out. I think you have to order it specifically from their website, uncletom.com. But it's very informative. It's got a lot of history to it, talking about the parties and just black conservatism in a nutshell, and it's really neat.
Uncle Tom. Interesting.
Nice.
Yep.
We'll check it out. So there's a little bit of a, it's kind of a nice little array of stuff you can take in if you're trying to look for something. How about you, Katie? What's your question?
Ask here's me. Here's a scenario.
Okay.
Your phone rings in the middle of the night. It's one of your friends calling at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And you're incredibly annoyed because they're calling you so late, but you forgot to turn your phone on silent. Is it your friend's fault for calling you so late, or is it your fault for not putting your phone on silent?
My friends can call me anytime they want. And if you call me in the middle of the night and you want to know like what you should eat for breakfast, I'm going to be mad at you. But I'm going to answer the phone. And if you call me and ask me what's for breakfast and you call me again the next night, I'm still going to answer my phone. So, you don't have to have it on. You should turn it on silent if you don't want to take calls. But I want my friends and family to know that they can call me anytime.
Anytime, yeah. Gabe, what about you?
If you're calling me at 2 for something, some bullcrap, you're not my friend.
Point of clarification.
This is supposed to divide. This is supposed to divide the room because
Gabe,
a lot of people
I have your phone number, right?
Or...
Okay, just noted.
But if you... But if you are my friend and you're calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning, I know it's serious. So I'm gonna get up and do whatever. I don't know. If
you need to get rid of a body, you're like, I know it's serious, which makes you know that he needs to know that it's serious,
right? Ryan, what about you?
If you, I agree with everything that's been said so far about calls. But if you switch that to texts, I'm gonna say that it's their fault because texts usually aren't that important, but they still can wake you up.
Yeah.
And man, it drives me crazy if somebody's texting me at 5:30 in the morning because they're awake because they got to go to work or they go to the gym or whatever, and I'm not. I'm like, dude, please realize that other people are not awake when you're awake. So I'm going to say it's their fault.
Katie, what's your answer to that question?
I say it's your fault if your phone isn't on silent or if you don't use the dimmer on your phone. I think that it's... It's stupid for a friend to contact you, obviously knowing if you have work in the morning, just to kind of BS with you and, like, you know, shoot the crap. But I don't like the idea of you having control over your phone and being able to manipulate it whichever way you would like to, and you choosing not to put it on silent.
What if you're medium drunk?
That's a good point.
Ryan, good point. Your question?
Has anybody in this room, especially on the radio, but really in any circumstance, ever accidentally cussed?
Been very close.
On the radio?
I was just close to
any situation where you didn't mean to, but especially on the radio.
I'm just trying to think if it was ever accidentally.
Okay. Well, that kind of answers.
I don't know.
I've never on the air said something I didn't mean to say. Katie, you've never dumped me, have you?
No.
And by that, I mean, if something goes wrong, she can push a button and it drops that sound out.
You'd never dump me, would you, baby?
Katie and I have never been in a relationship. It just needs to be made very clear. No, I don't know. I have gone in and out of having a colorful language problem. But I've worked most of my life. I don't know. This is a really sexist thing to say. I've worked with men most of my life. I started out in sports talk radio, and there just was a way that language was used or whatever. And I don't know. But I try. Once you become a mom, you have to really get a good grasp on that. So, I mean, maybe that's the time. If my kids hear a bad word, they'll be like, "Mom." And I'll be like, "That doesn't mean you could say it." That's pretty much the way that goes. What about you, Gabe?
Why I? I think I did once in front of my cousin a long time ago, and that was enough because he told my mom.
What'd mama do?
Mom just had to look at me. She had to look at me a certain way. Just kind of like it was a simultaneously, you know better, and also you do that again and something bad's going to happen to you. Kind of, you know, just that look. Just, mm-hmm. I can't replicate. It's just.
Yeah, because it's a mom look. You're not a mom.
So it's a mom look. It's a mom look.
It's innate. You don't realize the power it has until you use it. You don't even know you're using it until you use it, and then you realize the power you wield, and then you use it a lot. It's better than cursing. Gabe, you got a question?
Exactly. Sure. What part of a kid's movie, well, we'll say any movie, completely scarred you for life? Something you saw when you were a little kid, and it was just, oh my gosh, this is going to kill me.
I was really sad in Land Before Time when the mom died.
Gosh. Oh.
that will mess you up.
Devastating.
What's yours, Gabe?
Now, for me, I stayed up really late and, you know, past my bedtime to watch a TV miniseries that was going on called V. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with it. It's about alien species that comes down to meet with us, and it turns out they're actually like lizard people and they want to use us for food. And there's a
well, yeah. Why did it scare
they remade
you?
It too.
Oh, awesome. Gosh.
What about
and
you?
There was a part in there where they tore off their skin and you could see the lizard underneath, and as a little kid that freaked me the heck out.
Man,
what
about you, Ryan? Looking back now, it's so corny too. It's
oh,
terrible.
Gosh, yes.
Never Ending Story. Anybody remember that movie?
The Never Ending Story.
Okay. You probably already know the scene.
Oh,
I'm gonna say.
Oh no.
Dude, it's when what's his name is running from that wolf. Oh my gosh, that broke my mind. I couldn't handle. I still get anxious when that movie comes on just because of that scene. I don't even want to watch it now.
That's funny, Katie. What about
when he lost his horse?
Atreyu. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need to go back and watch that movie.
Me too.
It all feels like a trip.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
I remember the feeling and the uncertainty that I had, but I don't really know what the story is.
Y'all remember that tunnel scene in Willy Wonka?
Oh, yeah.
That scene scared the daylights out of me. And I love that movie so much because I love Gene Wilder. But that scene when they go in the tunnel and the parents are terrified and the kids are terrified, and it's eerie and disturbing. And all the while, Willy Wonka is just hanging,
singing
and chilling and singing about the weirdest stuff. It always rubbed me the wrong way. And every time I see that scene now, I'm like, ugh.
I've never seen that movie.
Don't know which way the water's flowing.
You got to see that.
Chris
That's
on Facebook says, I work with women most of my life. They cuss more than men. And Chris, you're probably
that's probably right in this environment, too.
That's probably true. All right, good. Ask me anything. We're going to take a quick break, and now Tony Colombo is going to come in and join us and do a little Annie, Are You Okay? To wrap it up and send us into the weekend. And don't forget, this weekend's a big weekend. The president at 4 p.m. our time is going to be announcing his nomination for the Supreme Court seat that has been vacated by Justice Ginsburg. And subscribe to the YouTube channel right now. Quick, go over to Annie Fry on YouTube. Just type in Annie Fry, F-R-E-Y. You'll see our channel there. Subscribe, and then you'll be a part, be able to follow us when that announcement comes out. We'll try to be there live while it's happening. Real quick break, Tony Colombo, when we come back. This is News Today. Fox News reporting just a couple hours ago by Brooke Sigmund. President Trump's plan for Black America designates the KKK and Antifa as terrorist organizations and calls for making lynching a national hate crime while pledging to increase access to capital in Black communities by nearly $500 billion. The president on Friday is expected to roll out details of what the campaign is calling the, quote, Platinum Plan, which details, quote, opportunity, security, prosperity, and fairness for the Black community. So put that on the scoreboard. That's a pretty interesting thing, going after the KKK and Antifa at the same time. Yeah, fight that.
Good. Surprised it's not already a national hate crime to lynch.
Yeah, well, that was part of the Jussie Smollett story, was like that Kamala Harris was going to work really hard to make lynching. And it's like, that's what we're getting out of the Jussie Smollett issue. And who, like, where is this happening? And we should be shining a bigger spotlight on it for all of the lynchings that are taking place around the world. Pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, that's kind of the pandery part of it. But the other two things are you know, a big deal.
Yeah.
Because it kind of changes how we approach things.
I think it's good, and I think that it's great that he went towards the KKK and Antifa at the same time. Tony Colombo, yep. Hi. How
hey,
are you?
Hey, guys. Hello, everyone.
How are you?
I am well. A little shameless self-promotion here.
Please.
That event that you're talking about, that the president made those announcements at today, is in Atlanta. And my co-host from The Weekend Report, Chris Arps, is at that
Sweet.
Event.
Sweet. Fantastic.
There. So we're going to talk. Yeah. So we'll get to talk about that on The Weekend Report tomorrow.
Nice.
And then I know you guys have plugged it as well, and I really appreciate it. But also, don't forget, we'll have live post-debate coverage on Tuesday night. I'll be here until 11 o'clock.
Tuesday night, at least. We're going to start coverage on the air at 97.1 at 7 p.m., as I understand it. The pregame coverage for the debate that Fox News is putting out starts at 7. You'll be able to listen to the whole debate here on 97.1. And then afterwards, Tony is going to host until he drops. And he's going to have all of us come on and join it. We are going to be doing on our various social media outlets, Dave and is the whole crew doing it, or is it just Dave?
Whole DGS
is going to start at 7 p.m. on our social media platforms, and he's going to go for 20 minutes, then Mark's going to go for 20 minutes, and then I'm going to take over and run us right up into the actual debate. And Tony, I don't know if you know this, but I've got some whiskey slush that I'm going to be making right here.
Woo!
That Ryan and Katie and I are going to be partaking during
All
the
right.
debate.
All
so
right.
if there is a reason to listen to my spot at 10 p.m. on the air with Tony Colombo after the debate is over.
Yeah.
If the feedback isn't enough, I'll have some whiskey in my system. Should be great.
I like
Steve's looking forward to it, really.
As am I.
I'm okay with whiskey.
I am always proud of our coverage when we do debates and election nights and things like that. I think we do it better than anyone else. So
I do. I agree with you.
Tune in and check it out.
All right. Hit it, Katie.
Let's do it.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
All right, two stories in one to start us off. If you think there's going to be a rise of the machines, some news this week may confirm that suspicion. First, Ring announced their newest home security camera. It's a small autonomous drone that flies around your house while you're away so you can see what's happening. So
no,
you
doesn't.
Leave and the thing goes up and circles your house until you come back. It's going to be on sale next year. And Amazon has announced a bunch of new features they're bringing to Alexa, which will allow Alexa to play a much bigger role in your home. Some of the new features include listening for sounds like breaking glass or doors opening when you're away and automatically calling the cops, locking your doors or turning on your lights without you asking, just based on your habits. Like, oh, it's midnight. Everybody's probably asleep. Let's turn the lights off. Taking care of a crying baby by turning on a lamp or playing music. And turning off your television when you start snoring. Annie,
wow.
Are you okay with this level of technology in your home?
Hell no. Oh, no. This is the craziest thing that I've ever heard of. I don't even have an Alexa in my house. And if you do, you could tell it to listen to 97.1.
I don't want it locking my doors when I don't tell it to.
No.
Like, what? I don't. What? I don't want the doors locked when I don't know they're locked.
I really think that we're creating a generation underneath my age, and maybe even younger than Katie, who's in her later 20s, that is going to push aside a lot of this stuff. I think that the interest in this, you have to be able to afford this kind of technology right now, which is kind of the 50s and older maybe group. And I know that there's a lot of interest in being able to automate homes. I mean, you grew up with Star Trek where you could say computer and then things would happen. That's got to be pretty cool. I think it's really cool, but not with my data, not when I just watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix. It was my sayonara to Netflix because when I canceled, I got it through the rest of September. And I said to my husband, I said, let's make this our goodbye swan song for Netflix. Yeah, I'm good on that. No, I have no interest in that. Yeah,
the next generation will have been raised by robots, so they'll be fine with it.
Will they?
The babies. The babies will be taken care of by robots.
You know what? I hope you're right, Annie, and that's how I feel too. But sometimes my daughter, my 17-year-old, surprises me with how much she's willing to like. Oh, I don't care.
Give up.
Yeah, like look you know, at everybody they can have on my data. TikTok. I don't care about my. Yeah, it's Target is now promoting waist-up styles for working from home. They're called
called
video conference outfits. They include things like shirts, jewelry, hair
tuxedo
accessories,
t-shirts.
And lipstick, but no pants. So they're outfits just from the waist up.
What a dumb gimmick. Who goes to, who goes to Target and only buys whole outfits at
they're
one
called,
time?
They're called video conference outfits.
It seems as if they're encouraging the no pants part.
I'm in the shirt section, but I don't know what to do.
Exactly,
I don't know what pants to wear. I'm a grown-ass man, and I don't understand what to do here. Do I wear a tie with these sweatpants? I'm confused.
That's exactly the question. Annie, are you okay with encouraging people to go
to
bottomless during Zoom meetings?
You do you.
Just don't stand up.
As for me in my house, we wear pants.
Stay sitting.
Don't get up.
So I've actually heard of this. I think I did a dumb story about it last year, too. But this isn't a dumb story. You guys can keep listening. Do you guys know what cuffing
season
is?
Show's almost over.
Yes. Do you know what cuffing season is?
Yes.
C-U-F-F-I-N-G. Cuffing season. What is it, Katie?
We did have this discussion. It's when people hook up for the holidays.
That is exactly right. Cuffing season is the name
for
the time of year when people usually try to lock down a new relationship so they aren't alone during the holidays. It usually starts in November, but because of uncertainty with the pandemic, it's already happening. Annie, are you okay with people locking down their significant other a little early so they don't lose a Christmas present on top of everything else this year?
It's like the most American thing I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
If any part of your relationship requires locking down, I don't really want to know about it. And maybe you're not in it for the right reasons. I guess if they're also not in it for the right reasons and your wrong reasons match, I guess go for it. But I just really wish people would. Gosh, I don't know. I don't want to be the old fart that doesn't. I did not date in the online dating age, and I know that it's different now. The world has changed. It used to be kind of like people would tease you if you dated online. I would only date online if I went into, like, I would not be just, you know, walking around in wild country looking for a husband like I actually
wild
did.
Country.
Right, you know?
Heck yeah.
But
had
don't do that
dates
to yourself.
Wild country with my wife.
How good is this gift going to be anyway? It's going to disappoint you.
Right. We don't have time for the last one. This could also be a sign of the apocalypse, though, but it had to do with Louis Vuitton creating a luxury face shield that's
luxury.
$1,000.
There's nothing more elitist than
you
a
You okay with paying $1,000 for a face shield?
I'm okay with living in a country where you can pay $1,000 for a luxury
Dang
face shield.
Dang right.
Right? Happy birthday, Ryan.
You're old.
Thank you. My presents are awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
Enjoy
birthday,
your cake.
You.
See you guys later. Subscribe to us on YouTube, Annie Fry YouTube channel. DGS coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.